Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky, welcoming you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Thursday, November 10th. And let me say thank you to our faithful listeners that tune in and those of you that are listening today over WSOF, WAJJ Radio, as well as over the internet at WSOF.org. Appreciate those of you that do that. And I want to remind you that we do have these broadcasts in what we call podcast form there at our website, in which you can listen to those. You can download them and listen to them at your convenience and maybe save them and use them as you see fit to do. All right. Well, I'm beginning a series this week entitled How to Have a Happy, Healthy, and Holy Home. And this series is going to entail sermons that I've preached and put together in a book earlier, and I'll be saying more about that on today's broadcast. But also want to mention that I do have this in booklet form, those of you that might be interested in that. And if you would send me a note, let me know. I can find out what it would cost us to get that mailed to you. And I'm not trying to make money on it. We'll try to see if we can just get that to you. If you'd like to get one of those, I know we have a limited number, but Brother Gray brought some with him, and we'll be glad to get those in your hands if you'd like to have one of those that has the sermons in print form. All right? Well, we're going to move right on in prayer. If you will, bow with us, and let's pray together right here at the beginning of our broadcast. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. Thank you for your goodness, grace, and mercy. I want to thank you for your love that just goes beyond telling. There's no words that can describe the great love of our God. There's no bounds. It's the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. The songwriter said it right. It goes beyond the high star, and it reaches down to the lowest hell. I want to thank you, Lord, for your love for me. I want to thank you for saving me by your good grace and mercy. Oh, Lord, I could never thank you enough. I love you. Oh, Lord, how I love you. But it's because you first loved me. You loved me when I was unlovely. You loved me when I was lost in sin. Oh, Father, I want to thank you that you loved me, bought me, purchased me with your own blood. Pick me up out of that muck and mire of sin. Clean me up and put me in the family of God. Oh, Father, how good you are. I thank you for your goodness. And I know, Lord, you long to do the same for others. Lord, I pray for them. I know that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I know, dear God, that it's your will, that you have willed that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Oh, Father, I pray that you deal with those sinners that we're calling their name out, those people that there's names on my mind right now, those people that we can see and picture even now. In our mind, Father, I pray, touch the body of those that are sick and afflicted. We know so many, and we've prayed and called their name again and again. Lord, I pray, keep touching and help those sick bodies and those ailing bodies. But, Lord, the most important thing is the soul. So I pray, Father, again, for those that are unsaved, that you'd save those that are saved and ready to go. Lord, I pray, help them to glorify you and to live for you. Help us, dear God, to be holy. And, Lord, that we just continue to be what we ought to be in this present world. Lord, I pray now that you'd bless the broadcast. I pray, Lord, you'd use it for your glory and honor. Let the Word of God have free course. Let the Spirit of God move in liberty and in unction and power. And, Father, I pray, draw sinners, Lord, that you'd revive saints, and that Jesus Christ would receive the glory. Father, I pray that you'd help the Cater-Dockery family as they have this time of bereavement and the loss of Brother Cater. Father, I pray that as the funeral has passed, that their mind would be pointed towards Christ, and that people there in the family that need the Lord might come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, I pray that you would bless his memory and bless his family. Help them, dear God, to serve you and please you, and then you get all the glory and the honor. Lord, I pray, meet the different needs that are here. Lord, have your way in those things. Then, Lord, I ask you that you might help also in these other needs that we've mentioned. Lord, you know about them. Have your way, we pray. Get the glory. Help this broadcast to have the touch of God upon it. And, Father, we'll thank you and praise you for all you do. In Jesus' wonderful and precious name we ask it. Amen and amen. And I do appreciate you praying with us there. And we're going to be looking in the Scripture at Psalm 127. That's Psalm 127. We're going to have a song and maybe a couple of songs, and then we'll be right in with the scripture reading and the message for the broadcast. I'm preaching a series that I've entitled, How to Have a Happy, Healthy, and Holy Home. This chapter, Psalm 127, I read verse 1 previously. Well, let's look at verse 1 again and read down through verse number 5. The Bible says, Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Let me do just a little reflection and touch some of the main points that we've covered thus far in this series and this sermon, and then head on and continue in this sermon. This text that I've chosen is used many times in preaching on the importance of the home. There is much preaching on the importance of the home and how to have a happy and healthy home. However, I'm convinced that in many of these cases, there has been too much emphasis placed on the home and too little emphasis placed on the church. Now, this may seem controversial to some, but I believe it's scriptural, and I think I can show you that in throughout this study. I am convinced that many homes have been destroyed and many churches have been crippled because of a misunderstanding that some people have concerning the importance of the church. There are people who are leaving good, solid, sound, fundamental churches in order to stay at home and focus on their families. This is wrong, scripturally, and it is destructive both to the home and to society. Let me mention a few things, if I may, given scriptures to look at and to compare, about what God teaches us concerning the home and the church. Put your thinking cap on, and let's look at some of these scriptures. I'm preaching about hope for the home. I'm not against the home. I'm for it. But the hope of the home is that we put the emphasis biblically where it should be. Amen. Now, let me say, first of all, think with me about this. Some say that God made the home before he made the church, and therefore the home is more important than the church. I would like to oppose that view that God created the home before the church. I'm not sure that he did. Secondly, some say that God focuses on the home because he gave so much scripture to it. Well, there are a lot of teachings in the Bible that are helpful to our homes, but I must mention that not one verse is given to the home, but rather all these verses on the home are given to the church. I draw this conclusion from all these teachings given to the home only coming through the church. Your home has no hope outside of the church. When you neglect the church and when you reject the church, your home will suffer. I also mentioned that the scriptures, I believe, show that the home should be built around the church. And I went back to Numbers chapter number 2 when that Moses was instructed by God to tell Aaron to tell the people that the children of Israel were to encamp round about the tabernacle. The tabernacle being the symbolism of the church. And they were to pitch their tent around and in a certain location depending on where that tabernacle was. I do believe that the families, I'm not saying that the homes, the houses need to be built around the church, near the church, but I am saying that the church ought to be central to how you establish the order in your home. I gave this example at our church recently. It should not be that you say, all right, well, we can't go to church on Wednesday night because Junior has got a ball game. No. Rather, the church ought to take the preeminence. You ought to be able to say, well, I'm sorry, but Junior can't go to the ball game on Wednesday night because we have church. Amen. Church should be what you build the home around, not build the church around the home. Amen. My fourth reason why that I believe that the church is actually more important than the home. Let me say, Jesus taught us that very truth. First of all, he told us that by his own example. Jesus did not start a family, but he did start a church. He did not purchase a family with his own blood, but he did purchase a church with his own blood. Jesus is not coming back for a family. He's coming back for a church. Amen. Our Lord even declared in his own words that the physical family is not as close or as important as his followers, his believers are. I've got a number of these scriptures. If you will, look with me in Matthew chapter number 12, verses number 46 through 50. Here's what our Lord said. The Bible says, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. And he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. So our Lord drew attention away from his physical family to that group of disciples that he had gathered around him to begin that first church. This same story is recorded by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. But our Lord not only shown it by his example, but also by calling his disciples away from their own homes. Again, I see this in Matthew and in Mark. Matthew 19, verses 28 through 29. Again, Mark chapter 10, verse 28 through 30. So our Lord called his disciples away from their own homes. If the home was more important than the church, why didn't he tell them to stay home with their family? I'll tell you why. Because the home's not more important than the church. God doesn't tell anybody to stay home with their family rather than going to the house of God and worshiping God. Now, I believe there's times when there's sickness that may require you staying there by their side. I understand some of that. I don't know that it's as common as people pretend that it is, but I believe that could take place. But I'm simply saying there is no cause for the forsaking of the church just in order to do something with the family. And our Lord taught this by his own example, and he taught this by calling his disciples away from their families and their homes. He also taught this by his teachings. Look in Matthew chapter number 10, verses 34 through 38. Here's what our Lord Jesus said. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Oh, friend, we're seeing it all over our land today. Families change churches based on the preferences of their children. Because little Junior likes children's church better over at the big mega church than he does being in the worship service there in the little country church. Or I can name other things, dozens of other things. But you know what happens? The families prove, the parents prove that they love their children more than they love their Lord and the leadership of the Lord. Our Lord Jesus said they're not worthy. They're not worthy of him. All right. Luke chapter number 12, again, verse number 51 and going through 53. Jesus said, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter and the daughter against the mother. The mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Luke also goes on, chapter 14, and verse number 26. He says this, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, these are the teachings of the Lord. Now, when he's saying hate, that doesn't mean hatred as wanting to do harm or neglect, but rather what he's talking about there is that your love for Christ is so abundant that your love for your family is so small in comparison that it could be considered hate on that Richter scale. All right. Again, Luke chapter number 9, verses 57 through 62. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father." Now let me break in here just a moment and say that this man's father, I don't believe, was laying a corpse. But rather, he was speaking about waiting to follow the Lord until after his father was dead, because he was convinced that the home was more important than the church. Notice what our Lord Jesus said to him. The next verse. Jesus said unto him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." Again, breaking in, our Lord called him away from his home and away from his family. The next verse, "And another said also, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house." Again, this man was convinced that the home was more important than the church, but Jesus did not agree. "And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Friend, I'm just simply saying to you that if you place the home on a pedestal above the church, that gathering of the saints, that fellowship of the saints, if you place the home above that, you have done wrong. You have then made an idol of your home, and you've brought trouble into your own home. Well, we're going to look at this again on tomorrow's broadcast and try to finish it up. Let's ask God to strengthen our homes and thus strengthen our churches and our nation. Thank you for listening, and until then, may God bless you, is our prayer.